Greetings and welcome to the Entrepreneurs Guild. My name is Tom Stemple. I'm your host, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Tom Fleury.
How you doing, Tom? Glad to be here.
Great to have you here, as always. And in the spotlight today is David J. Greer. David is an entrepreneurial coach, author, and facilitator. He is the catalyst who gets you to fully live your dreams now. Spend 1 hour reading his book, Wind in Your Sails, attend a one-hour talk with him, or get 1 hour of one-to-one coaching, and you'll have three concrete action items that will shift and accelerate your business within 90 days. David also specializes in working with entrepreneurs challenged with alcoholism or addiction. He and his wife, Kara Lee, are committed to each other and their three children, spending time supporting them in the many ways and variety of activities they're involved with. They live in Vancouver, Connecticut. Vancouver, Canada, the other C.
The other, I live in Connecticut. Exactly.
I am so
thanks for the intro, Tom.
You're welcome. So, Dave, it's great to have you here. We like to start the program by asking the same question, and that is, when were you very first smitten by the entrepreneurial bug?
Well, when I was in grade 8 or 9, I learned octal arithmetic, and I got taken of a tour of the information technology area of the provincial government of Alberta. I grew up in Edmonton, Alberta, which is the provincial capital.
Right.
And I knew I wanted to combine computers and business, like, from then on.
I just
had this vision and ended up in Vancouver. I got my computer science degree from the University of British Columbia, and I had a part-time job with the largest cable supplier, TV cable supplier, which was using a very modern, one of the newest mini computers in the world to run their operations. And there I met what would later become my partner, Bob Green, who specialized in this computer platform. And before I graduated, he ended up hiring me as the first employee after he and his wife, who were the founders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just thought I was a computer programmer. But as a requirement of my getting the job, I had to submit an abstract to the Hewlett-Packard International User Group Convention,
which
was accepted, and I had to write my first paper. And so I took a week off of fourth year at UBC to fly to San Jose, where I gave my first technical talk. And I was standing on the San Jose convention floor telling a bunch of computer geeks about this cool stuff and what it could do for them. And later I learned that's the essence of marketing and sales.
Yeah.
You know, I'm truly an accidental entrepreneur. I mean, I stayed with Robel for 20 years. I ended up, Robel is named for Robert and Annabelle. That's the two founders. 10 years in, I bought out Annabelle, became partners with Bob. And towards the end of my tenure there, I brought in some outside consultants. And, you know, like if I flew to England to go give a talk on your customs form, you know, it's so what do you do? And I'd write computer programmer. Like, that's still my mental model. So I brought these outsiders in and I said, you know, what are you? And I'm a computer programmer. And they'd like symbolically hold up this card, like, you know, in the mirror saying, no, entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, no, you don't get it. I'm a computer programmer, entrepreneur. So I had actually been an entrepreneur for decades, but didn't really think of myself as that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Even though I was just this computer geek who was really good at what he does. And my former partner and I in this particular market space, we were world experts. Mm. You know, our strategy was we wrote a new paper each every year and traveled the globe, giving presentations to technical and managerial audiences to create belief in this small, you know, Canadian-based obscure software company you were going to trust your whole business to.
Yeah.
And it worked. And a lot of people trusted us.
That's good. That's a good thing.
So, you know, that's my principal entrepreneur journey. And then we took a break after I sold out. Bob and I had a major disagreement about the future of the company, and we solved it by him buying me out. It's 2001. I'm not even noticing the dot-com meltdown. Not a good time to be trying to do new things in tech. So someone smarter than me suggested I do something completely different. So my wife and I commissioned a sailboat in the south of France and took our three kids and homeschooled them while sailing more than 5,000 nautical miles in the Mediterranean.
Wow.
Over a 2 year period. So really, you know, one of the most important events of our life and, you know, a legacy we still draw from. And I've been an angel investor, I've been a senior executive, you know, working one-on-one with entrepreneur friends of mine. And then since 2015, I've been an entrepreneurial coach.
Yeah, that's great.
And had various businesses, you know, brought the boat back from Europe, ran it as a charter business. Like, you know, when you kind of become a business person, you just, you don't really think about it, right? So like start another business. Like, yeah, okay, I know how to do this. I've done this before.
Right? So David, from a real technical background, you know, and then you started to get the toes into the entrepreneurial pool. How did you get to become a coach? How did that develop?
I think you've got to go back to my time at Robel where, you know, we engendered a culture and a development of people. I've always been very people oriented. I just didn't necessarily realize it. You know, also, even though I was this deeply technical person, by the time I was 24 or 25, so I joined Robel when I was 22. And by the time I was 24 or 25, I was probably at trade show giving 80% of the demos.
Yeah.
Because I was really good at listening to people and getting them to describe to me their problems for 4 or 5 minutes. And then, like, we had, you know, think of like Microsoft Word. It's a tool that can apply to any business. So we kind of had two product lines that were a bit like that. It didn't matter what your actual business was. If you use this computing platform, potentially we were a solution. But I'd listen for 5 minutes, and then I'd show you 5% of the product that applied just to you. Like, right? And so this ability to listen, to respond appropriately, not make it all about me, although I was pretty egotistical back then. I've got a little better over the years. You know, these were all part of the path to becoming a coach. But ultimately, in 2007, I was at a conference with a fellow, Vern Harnish. He's famous for called the Rockefeller Habits and something called the One-Page Strategic Plan. And I was at a training event for him with one of my angel investment young CEOs. And at the back of the room were two certified scaling up coaches. And I talked to both of them. And one of them made me more uncomfortable than I had been in half a dozen years.
Really?
I had tears in the corner of my eyes just from 2 minutes of him asking me some questions. And his card sat next to my phone for 3 weeks. And the phone must have weighed at least 10,000 pounds.
As most phones do. Yeah.
As most phones do. And then Kevin called me and he said, hey, I thought there was really a spark that day when we had our conversation. And do you want to talk about working together? And I said, yes. So on my 50th birthday, August 9th, 2007, I had my first coaching session with Kevin. And at that time, to work with Kevin, your first coaching session was 2 8-hour days. Like, he's my kind of guy. He's like, you're all in or all out. Like, there's no halfway point. And we started working together, and slowly we like removed all the clutter from the table and kind of everything. 18 months later, it's like the elephant in the room was on the table. And on January 26, 2009, I sent an email message to Kevin about 10:30 at night. I finished my last beer and I said, Kevin, the topic for tomorrow's coaching call is my drinking. And Tuesday, January 27th, 2009, we had that conversation and Kevin coached me to go to my first AA meeting.
Interesting.
And it turns out that it is Summer Place down in Washington State. Is, you know, kind of a group communal place where there's like group fireplaces and stuff. And for years, he'd been sitting around the fireplace talking to someone that had 20 or 30 years in AA. So Kevin didn't have a problem, but he talked to someone who did and who knew what the solution was. So when Kevin was like fully prepared for what to do.
Yeah.
And so I committed, that was Tuesday. I committed to go to a meeting by Friday. And then being the overachiever I am, I had a networking event downtown that ended at 8, and I went online and I looked up the meeting directory, and lo and behold, literally on the road I would be driving on to go home, half a block off that road was a meeting at 8:30. And so that night I went to my first meeting, which is the Kitsilano Group meeting. And I've been going to that meeting every Tuesday that I'm in town since January 27th, 2009. It's still my home group. I'm still part of that group. And, you know, God willing, one day at a time, I'll take my 14-year cake in the first Tuesday of February. So
congratulations. Yeah, that's great.
congratulations for your achievement too. Congratulations. And thank you seriously for sharing that, because I know how difficult it is for many people to do that. I had a client when I first met her, I didn't realize it, but she had been in AA for 15 years. She didn't tell me until 2 years later when she celebrated her 17th. Mm-hmm. She religiously goes back and contributes and helps others, which obviously helps themselves. So I think that's great. Because it was interesting as you were going down that path, and I had no idea you were going down that path. I'm going, hey, we were going to ask you a bunch of other questions, but boy, you're a pretty successful guy, so I don't think you really had any issues. And then all of a sudden, there's one, you know. So
yeah.
Well, and just my struggle, like as an angel investor and being a director, like it was completely unfulfilling. Like that's what Kevin keyed off of was
interesting.
I had so much to offer, and yet I couldn't find, you know, anyone who wanted my help or. Like, so that was a real struggle. I didn't totally answer your question. Why did I become a coach? When I came out of my last executive gig in 2014, in my mid-50s, I'd worked as hard as I've ever worked in my life. And I just made the decision, I don't need to work hard and prove it to anyone again.
Yeah.
So there was that piece. And then the other piece was I wanted to give to other entrepreneurs the gifts that Kevin had given to me.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the impetus to start my coaching practice. And then I did do coach training with CTI, which also was really instrumental and really helped my personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd done a lot of work with the One Page Strategic Plan, and I'd used it internally in companies, and I'd done some coaching around it. And so, you know, I also started a facilitation practice, which is all around the Rockefeller Habits and the One Page Plan.
So is most of your practice use of, I'll call them pre-existing tools and things you've learned, or have you woven some, let's say, David Greer specifics and sort of learnings into that?
I think like any coach, I have a really big toolkit, and that toolkit is things I've learned from others, things I've learned from myself. You know, I'm sure I mudge lots of them together based on my experience, strength, and hope. So, you know, what I do is, you know, like for some of my, I do a lot of one-on-one coaching. And, you know, some of them want, like Coach Kevin, he has a great book, Your Oxygen Mask First, and he has his master plan, which has a lot of boxes on it. Like, you've got to be really committed if you want to use his plan. I mean, it looks intimidating. You can actually do it in a couple hours. But so for some of my clients, I do that. For other clients, I like just go with really simplified, you know, kind of like plan. Like, can you just tell me one thing you want for yourself, for your life, and your business this year? Like,
yeah.
I meet the client where they're at, and then I suggest the tools and the, you know, whatever to go work on that seems to fit where they're at. And again, I'm a coach now, so it's always up to the client.
Yeah.
Like, do you want to work on a plan for 2023? No. Okay. Next. Like, so what do you want to do? Right.
Well, you know what? Second round of applause to you, because I've also worked with a lot of coaches, a lot of, you know, first starters, so to speak, and they have a model and they foist that upon everyone because you got to do it this way. And you're one of the first people that Tom and I have met, not only on the show, but in person and in the people we help, that actually takes that approach, which is, whoa, you know what? You're not going to do it that way. So which way do you want to do it, or what do you want to do? And if you can get them to do what they want to do and obviously steer them in the right direction, it's amazing how far they can go. So I think that's a great model you have.
It's fascinating. The Coach Kevin and the other coach, whose name I can't remember right now, that I met at that Vern Harnish event in 2007, they both told me, like, we're going to suggest things, but it's your life and your business, and you're going to choose what to do. And, you know, if in our experience that typically ends up in some big potholes, that's like, you're still, you can do whatever you want to do. And if you fall in a big pothole, we're here to help you clean it up after.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like, we're in your corner either way. And so, great. You know, I do offer my experience and suggest that, you know, in my experience, this is kind of what happens when you try those sort of things, and your experience may be different.
I've seen commercials that say that.
Yeah, you know, right. So again, it's your life. I mean, the thing that I'm a bit pedantic about is my intake. So I don't coach a client without first doing a 1 hour coaching call.
Yeah.
And some people after an hour, I don't offer to coach them.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you know the next thing you need to do? Right. And it's like, you know, because I don't think I can work with them.
Yep. Good point.
You know? And then I have an intake form, which, you know, includes, like, you know, I want to see at least one goal for 6 months, 12 months, and 18 months. And then I asked some questions like, 12 months from now, when you look back, how will you know that you made a good decision by hiring a coach? Not just me, like these are open-ended questions. You know, what's the one thing you want in a coach? What's the one thing you don't want in a coach?
Right.
And I would say 25% of the time I send my intake form, which is only like 2 pages long, and they don't turn it back.
Yeah.
Like, right. And so, okay, you're not ready to be coached. Yeah. It's just, you're not ready to be coached. And I also tell people, hey, go like have coaching sessions with 4 or 5 coaches. Like, I only want to be your coach if you really think that there's a fit and you really want me to be your coach.
Like, yeah.
I'm not just chasing business. I really, truly, in my heart of hearts, want to find the right people that I can help.
Oh, that's a great story. Thanks, David. That's because a lot of people who were in, let's say, our field, you know, small business advisors, coaching, et cetera, a lot of them don't look at it that way. They're pressing for business and you got to do it this way or it's not going to work. And that's unfortunate because a lot of people could be very easily and readily helped if they would just exchange some really basic information and allow things to go where they should go, not where someone one side or the other wants them to go.
Yep.
Well, just totally. Like everyone learns differently. Everyone makes decisions differently. So yeah, you have to kind of tailor the approach you take to, you know, the individuals you're dealing with. And when you do that, obviously, they're much more susceptible to listening to what you have to say as well. So, yeah.
One other thing I insist on for anyone who wants to become my client is that they do a StrengthFinders 2.0.
Yeah.
And, you know, that identifies your top 5 strengths out of this book's 40 some odd strengths.
Yep.
And, you know, usually early on one of the coaching sessions, I go over those, at least the top 3. And, you know, for most of us, those strengths get us very far in life, but we tend to bring it into everything. Like I've got a couple of clients where competitiveness is their number one strength.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. And do you want to compete with your wife?
Yeah.
Seriously. Like, you know, and I point that out to them and they're like, you can actually see the light bulb or hear the light bulb on the phone kind of going off that, oh, like it's just their default. It is their strength. So every single thing in their life, they're competitive about.
Yeah.
And there's just, and any strengths taken like to the nth degree turns around and bites us and is a weakness. So some of the insight in the personal growth is saying, okay, there's my strength, but is there a time when it's not helping me?
Right.
Good point. Hey, David, we only have a couple minutes left. And normally I ask a certain last question, but because you've shared so much with us today, the last question is sort of boring, but I think coming from you, it's going to be very important to our listeners. And that is, what sage piece of advice, one piece, would you give to a new entrepreneur given what's going on today?
You don't have to learn it all yourself.
Yeah, good.
Well said. And that was succinct. I mean, that's a good point.
And a lot of entrepreneurs, new or old, are not open to help. Like,
good point.
You know, it's part of what makes us entrepreneurs. If we weren't so driven, then we wouldn't be successful. But again, it's like that's one of those double-edged strengths. We're super hyper-driven, but it really makes it hard to get help. And there are a lot of people who will mentor for free. There's a lot of, you know, business owners who got extra time. They like helping young entrepreneurs. You know, I think when you pay for it, like through a professional relationship with someone like me, I think you actually take it more seriously.
Totally agree. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right? But you don't have to. And there's help out there. I guess that's the other thing to know is not only ask for help, but know that it is out there.
Oh, great. What's the best way for people to get a hold of you if they're interested in your help?
My website, coachdjgreer.com. And it's coach, D as in David, J as in James, Greer.com. And my phone number and the email address is right there on every single page. So that's, you know, text me, call me, fill out the contact form. Just, you know, my thing is let's start a conversation, right? And we'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
No obligation, you know, well, let's just start the conversation.
Yeah, it's the best way to get to know someone and get comfortable with working with them or not, you know,
as
you said before.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Well, David, thanks for being on the program today. This has really been good. Very interesting.
Totally agree.
And I greatly appreciate your focus and the methods you use and the approach you use. It's brilliant. It's very good. Very strong.
Thanks so much.
We also want to thank our listeners today and remind you to like us on whatever media you use to listen to our program. Make sure and tell your friends and business contacts about the program, too. We also invite you to go to our website, which is www.flawlesslaunch.com. There you can click on the podcast button and you can see dozens and dozens and dozens of other programs very similar to this, where we have interviewed successful entrepreneurs to hear stories about their path, to get their advice and feedback on matters that will help your business thrive. And you can also join the Entrepreneurs Guild, which is a Facebook community of entrepreneurs who gather together to ask questions, get answers, share their expertise. Tom and I use it as a platform to send out blogs and interesting articles and information, plus to keep people up to speed on who we're having on this program. And later this year, we'll be talking about some programs that we're launching, some training programs we're launching that'll be very interesting, primarily to aspiring entrepreneurs. So again, that's at www.flawlesslaunch.com. So thanks again for listening today. And remember, if you want your business to thrive, so do we.